All right, the hashtag MeToo trend has taken over social media recently, in which celebrities and ordinary people have flooded social media with personal accounts of sexual assault and harassment, responding to calls to break the culture of silence around such abuse. The massive global response was triggered by allegations recently made public against Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein, who was accused of rape and abuse dating back decades. We've seen high-profile actresses like Angelina Jolie and others relating their stories and experiences of harassment against or by Harvey, rather. To chat about the impact of hashtag MeToo trend on social media, we have online Dr. Samantha van Schalkwyk from Stellenbosch University. Good morning, Doctor. Thank you for chatting to us.
Hi, good morning.
Now, why has the Harvey Weinstein case prompted this issue of sexual violence and sexual harassment into the public space?
Yes. Well, I think that this case really illuminates the workings of patriarchal power with great clarity. This powerful film producer, Weinstein, leveraging his industry power and his financial power to really build careers. And he uses this for, you know, to receive sexual gratification. And I think it's really a powerful example of the unjust nature of a system where women are objectified and disrespected. Mm. And Weinstein fits the iconic image of the all-powerful man. And I think really the disapproval of high-power companies means so much more because of his status. I think that these social responses were very important, and it made it easier for others to come out about their stories. If his actions had been ignored or not taken so seriously, or the reality denied, like many cases, I don't think that the result would have been the same on social media. So the case really speaks to the ways in which globally and in all spheres the traumas of patriarchy have not been sufficiently addressed. Mm. And when we see a public figure like this, and when we see actresses come out talking about their experiences, I think it makes it easier for people to open up about their own experiences. But I think the main reason that the case has gained so much public attention is the high-profile celebrity status of the accused. We see this happen a lot in South Africa, the Oscar Pistorius case as one example. And I think that this is deeply problematic, that we really, there's only an uproar when it's a high-profile celebrity who are wealthy, of high status, very powerful. And it really says something about our society that we focus on these cases so much, and we ignore the experiences of others.
Now, talk to us about the power dynamics between men and women in the workplace, particularly when men are in position of power and influence and women are trying to build, you know, their careers in a particular industry.
Yes. Well, in many industries, the patriarchal system sets up these power dynamics within which women in the workplace are often dependent on men in some way for their career advancement. And in many instances, women who experience sexual harassment on a daily basis, women who've been sexually violated, even raped, they don't want to rock the boat at the workplace because their careers are dependent on their silence. And many women every day are in a precarious position walking this tightrope every day and holding these silences. And many colleagues in the workplace choose to support them because the perpetrator might be in a high position in the company or industry, and they are in a similar position, and thus they do not speak out. So this maintains this culture of silence. And for women in the workplace to be able to speak about their experiences, there needs to be support systems in place in the workplace. And by this, I mean support, a community of support from colleagues who are able to acknowledge the realities that women face every day and who are able to speak about these issues openly. Many women are in a situation where they are in intimate workspaces with the perpetrators, and you can just imagine the impact that it has for women in the workplace and the impact that it has on their work. So I really think it's important that, in a way, cultures at work have to be changed, and women's experiences need to be taken seriously and not just brushed under the carpet.
Now, there's been a lot of criticism of some men in the film industry who knew about Weinstein's attitude towards women, but, you know, not speak. What does it say about the complacency of men in protecting those known to be sexual predators?
Well, without a doubt, men are often very complicit, and men are shaming women every day with their silence, every single minute of every single day. And men are expected to uphold the patriarchal culture, to uphold the rules of this culture, and a large part of this is keeping secrets. And a large part of this is about denying women their reality. This is often played through by blaming the victim. If a woman does have the courage to come out about her experiences, a woman is labeled opportunistic, or she's exaggerating, or her sexuality and sexual history becomes questioned. In that case, the argument is that whatever happened was consensual. And this is a huge part of the culture of silence. But this culture and the patriarchal culture in general teaches men to be complicit. Men are taught that issues of sexual violence and harassment are women's issues. And men should be encouraged to bear witness to women's stories in meaningful ways and to examine their own silences. And this is about really their everyday behaviors and attitudes. It's important to realize that rape culture is not just about overt rape, overt sexual harassment. It's about men's everyday behaviors and attitudes that condone this violence, including their silence. And I think it's important to say that often women in the workplace too are silent about these issues when they see things happen to co-workers. Women are socialized within this culture the same as men are. Women are socialized to minimize men as actions, to say, well, it was a joke or it didn't really matter, or to say that men's sexual behavior is normal. They're sexual beings. This is what men do. Or to make excuses for men. So I think it's important to see both men and women's complicity within this culture that they are socialized in, and we must consider this broader culture of which they are part. And silence is a huge part of this. And now, yes.
Now, regarding the hashtag MeToo campaign, is this enough to break the culture of silence around sexual violence? Why are people finding social media a safe space to do this?
I think I have mixed feelings around the hashtag, as I do about many of these campaigns. A large part of it is the space that it opens up for backlash to occur, where victims really experience, you could say, a re-traumatization about their intentions of posting these things. But I think it's been important in terms of promoting awareness of the pervasiveness of the problem of sexual violence and harassment. I know men personally on social media who have never mentioned these issues and are now starting to speak out about their shock. They never knew that this was such a huge issue. And I think it shows that something is happening because of the hashtag. There's a certain shift, you could say a realization of the full extent of the problem, and hopefully a sort of perspective taking on men's part where they realize how they've often not taken the problem of sexual violence and harassment as seriously as they should. I also think for women who've experienced sexual harassment and violence, it's a sense of shared pain and connection with others. One's experience is validated, and one gets the platform to be a witness to one's experiences in the way that one chooses, whether women choose to post or not. There's a large thread of women who argue that they don't want to post their experiences on social media, but at the same time they are supporting the women that do. So there's this unsaid solidarity with whatever way a woman chooses to engage like this. And it's mobilized spaces for really acknowledgement and identification. And there's a certain sense of a moving away from shame in this collective sharing of experience. So in that way, I think it's important. But for me, it feels, going through some of these hashtags, some of the comments, it feels very privileged, very elitist. the nature of the discussions are mostly, you know, posted by educated people.
Right.
And what about the poor? What about the marginalized who are not on social media? How do they claim a sense of the injustice that happened to them? There's many stories of women, particularly in the States, high-profile women, who really speak about the difficulty in claiming the victim status because of this guilt, because of what they've been taught by this patriarchal system that somehow it's women's fault.
Right.
There's always that guilt, no matter how educated these are feminist women, and there's still that guilt that sits in the back of their mind.
Mm.
So you can imagine how difficult it is for more marginalized, poor, uneducated women from South Africa, how difficult it is for them to engage with that victim status. So
yes.
It's a bit complex, and I think that it tends to ignore a large majority of people who are not engaging in social media, and it ignores a bit of the complexity surrounding the experiences of many women.
Doctor, we're going to have to leave it there. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but it's such a great discussion, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation.
All right. Bye-bye.